What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Inbound to Hawk. Boy, we got a break. Hawkins picked up his dribble.
And
we throw
through.
It away. Najee to Dinwiddie. Blocked by Murphy!
Trey Murphy the third!
Get it to Hawkins!
Ball game!
That was the call. Todd Graffanini, the voice of the Pelicans there, joining us now. Pelicans winning 119-116 last night, Graff. And hallelujah, the Pellies have won 5 of the last 8. Some positive news in this new year.
No doubt about it, Steve. Happy New Year to both of you. And, since the calendar turned to 2025, the Pels are playing much better basketball, and it's producing in the win column. And, and even just going back on the 3-game road trip, starting in Philly last Friday, the Pels went 2-1 on that trip and, of course, won last night. They've been really, really entertaining games. I mean, the unfortunate thing, that probably the best game of all of them was the Boston game on Sunday, which unfortunately we, lost by a point, and CJ's shot went in and out. I mean, think about it. That shot goes in, and the Pels are on a 4-game winning streak right now.
Yeah, things have definitely taken a much-needed uptick for this team with all the negativity around it to start the season. One guy who's been on a tear of late, man, Trey Murphy, what more can you say about this guy? Charlie was just saying, not getting enough respect for the most improved player in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I would agree. We're going to beat this dead horse, it appears, but it's been health. I mean, look, guys, you think about it, Trey missed the first 10 games of the season. It would have been nice to have him to start the year as well, but he got hurt in training camp and didn't come back again until 10 games in. So, but he has really, really taken the most of his opportunity in the starting lineup. When Brandon Ingram went out, Trey basically took his spot, and he has really flourished. And we were talking after the game on the post game. That was, in my mind, his most complete game as a Pelican in his 4 years. You think about, he had a second career. What really got lost in the shuffle last night with all the brouhaha after the game with the block was Trey had a second career double-double last night. He had 10 rebounds in the game to go with the 20-plus and the three block shots and the steals and the assists. And he's just putting up his highest numbers as a pro all across the board. I mean, he's got a career high in steals at over 1 a game. He's got a career high in rebounds at 5 per game. So he is scoring, don't get me wrong, but he is doing it all right now. And, of course, the last play of the game really illustrated that. It was a block on paper, and we're going to go with that. So, and look, I did see the 2-minute report, and it was technically a goaltend, but I heard you guys talking earlier. We have been on the other end of those 2-minute reports so many times, it just went in one ear and out the other. That is the NBA's version of saying, sorry, we screwed up, you lose, see you next time.
Well, and technically, too, Hawkins was mugged on that play.
P.J. Washington, I think it was, Graff.
No doubt about it. So the block in theory never would have happened.
There you go.
The foul would have been called on Jordan Hawkins. I mean, we've all got PTSD with the Nolan no call. I mean, that's not on that grand of a scale, but there would never have been a no call if – there never would have been an overtime in that game if the no call never would have happened. So you go, you know, you take it that way.
No, that's my entire point, is that, you know, the goaltend happened, but, you know, the refs swallowed their whistle on one end, they swallowed it on the other. So we'll take it.
We're even Stevens then,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. But staying with Trey Murphy before we move on, Graf, I just want to get your thoughts on his all-around game improving. I know you mentioned the double-double last night with the 10 boards, but, you know, there was one moment last night, and we've talked to different Pels reporters, and they've brought this point up, is that, you know, his shot creation has gotten better. He can create by himself now, but also his dribbling has gotten better. I remember one moment from last night, Najee Marshall, former Pel, one of his buddies, he crossed him up. And, you know, that's just kind of, you know, one of those moments you see from Trey Murphy nowadays where, yes, he can beat you off the dribble. And, I mean, this is a guy that was just kind of strictly a three-point shooter at the start of his career. But now he's kind of budding into an all-around offensive talent. And I wanted to get on a soapbox because I was talking to Steve about this. If you're looking at, you know, the most improved candidates, like it's Cade Cunningham's award to lose this year. Detroit has taken a massive step, you know, from where they were a year ago, where they were, like, tying the record for the longest losing skid in the NBA history. But as far as, like, some of these other names up there, Trey Murphy's not even, like, listed in some of these books. It's just, what are we really doing here? I know that, you know, the Pelicans have a losing record, and that probably goes into it. But as a single performer, the jump that he's made this year all-around game, not just his shooting, but also his shot creation, his defense, his rebounding, it's been super impressive, and it really, you know, shows that the Pelicans made the right investment by giving him his offseason contract. He's going to be their wing of the future.
There's no question. He is a core member of this team, and that's a very good thing. And, look, I agree with you. He's gotten so much better offensively. I've mentioned what he's done defensively. But just to see him, you know, take guys off the dribble and get to the rim – and get to the free throw line. That is something that he really has taken a huge step forward in this year. And oh, by the way, he is a fantastic free throw shooter. You know, ever since his mom got on social media last year, because look, Trey was my favorite stat is 50-40-90. That's 50% field goal shooting, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. It's happened 11 times in the history of the NBA. Trey Murphy did that. He was 50-49 in his final year at Virginia. There is no doubt in my mind that Trey Murphy will be a 50-40-90 guy at some point in his career. I mean, he's got the hard part down this year. He's 91% from the free throw line. He's made a franchise record 51 in a row right now. But his ability to get to the rim, get to the line, that's something he never was really comfortable doing, because quite honestly, I don't think he had the frame to do it. But he's put some weight on, he's stronger, and he's not afraid to take on these defenders and get to the rim. And, you know, John DeShazer and I talk about this all the time on the air. When you're that lethal of a free throw shooter, and can get to the line consistently like that, I mean, you're getting free points. I mean, obviously it's a free throw, but you're getting free points if you can shoot the ball that well. When you think about what he did in Chicago the other night, when he set the record for consecutive free throws, which was at the time 42, Ryan Anderson had it, and his final two free throws were his 11th and 12th of the ball game. And the most impressive thing about that game, guys, he did not hit the rim one time in any of those 12 free throws. Wow. They were all swishes. It was just, he was like a machine. And, of course, he had over 30 that night and was just fantastic. But, no, you can't say enough about Trey. Unfortunately, you know, those postseason awards, he hadn't played enough games. He's not going to have he's not going to play 65 games. Gotcha. He's missed too many games to get that award. But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't be involved in it, because he definitely has stepped his game up big time this season.
Todd, one thing as well that I want to bring up, DeJounte Murray. Steve and I were talking about him in the opening segment, too. You know, in the trade with Dyson Daniels, Hawks fans are very excited with Dyson and what he's been able to do on the defensive side of the ball early in his Atlanta career. But what you saw from DeJounte kind of taking over in the fourth quarter last night, when you're trailing entering the fourth, that was a huge issue for the Pelicans last year when they, you know, made the postseason. Whenever they were trailing entering the fourth quarter, they just weren't able to win games. Last night they were trailing entering the fourth quarter. DeJounte Murray said, "Give me the ball," and he scores 13 points in the fourth by himself. Also dishing out a couple of assists as well. Yeah. And it just feels Charlie, like that's why they made that move.
No, he took the game over. And no, that is why they made the move. And look, I got a lot of Atlanta buddies, and we go back, yeah, Dyson Daniels, you know, we fleeced you guys. Like, he got hurt on opening night.
He broke his hand.
Exactly. This is the guy that we had, you know, signed. This is the guy we signed. It took him a little while to get it going. You mentioned the off-the-court stuff. He's been dealing with that, you know, since training camp. But what's the best trade, guys? What's the best trade? The trade that helps both teams. We needed a point guard, and we got one. And look, Dyson's doing very, very well in Atlanta. That's great. But this is the guy that we signed, who we've seen now in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, in the underlying theme of all of this and the reason why the Pels are playing better is because they've got their guys. They're healthy for the first time, really, all year. Now, Herb Jones is not, you know, he's going to miss more than likely the rest of the season. And we'll see what happens with Brandon Ingram. He is doing stuff on the court now. But, you know, that game against Chicago, we had Herb Jones and Brandon Ingram on the injured list. That was the first time since opening night that the list has been that low. And it's no coincidence that the Pels are playing their best basketball of the season because they've got a legitimate starting lineup and a legitimate bench. You know, in November and December, you're playing guys that are not starters. They're bench guys, and that's why they're bench guys, no offense. But you're counting on them to do things that they're not really capable of doing in that type of role. And now those guys that have played a ton of minutes are coming off the bench, and you see how they're flourishing. And don't forget Jose Alvarado, who missed a bunch of games too, but 23 games with the hamstring injury. And Jose is very integral to this team. They had a stat about a week ago that since last year, when Jose is in the lineup or he's available, the Pels are like 20 games over 500. Mm-hmm. And when he is not, the Pels are 15 games under 500. So don't think that guy doesn't mean a whole lot to the team. And by the way, Jose came back from that hamstring injury that first game against Washington, and the Pels have gone 5-3 since. I don't think it's any coincidence.
He was integral to that game against the Bulls, Graf, hitting four threes in the fourth quarter to really kind of get them going on that 22-6 run late. But Todd, I want to get your thoughts on the Utah Jazz back-to-back games tonight and then also Monday. Utah kind of struggling with a 10-29 record of their own. Just kind of your early assessment of them ahead of their game tomorrow night in the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, it'll be the first time we've seen them. The injury report is out, and they're going to be missing a bunch of guys, specifically Lauri Markkanen, who has just eaten us up over the years. So he's not playing tomorrow. Now, Colin Sexton is available. He is a very talented scorer at the point. So, you know, they're going to be tough. That Utah always plays as tough. It doesn't matter who's in, who's out. And it's one of those baseball series, Charlie. You're playing Friday and Monday.
Right.
So they're going to be here twice. It should be interesting. They got a lot of young guys that they're playing. They got beat by Charlotte last night in Utah before headed here. And Bryce Sensabaugh, one of their rookies, scored 26 points in the ball game. So, look, they're young, but they're not as deep as they would be if they had all of their pieces. Doesn't that sound familiar? So I think it's going to be a very, very interesting couple of games against the Jazz.
Graf, definitely always appreciate your time. Have a great call tomorrow. We'll definitely be tuned in right here on WWL, man. 7 o'clock tip-off.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it. Todd Graffinini, voice of the Pelicans there, joining us. We mentioned that Pelly's heating up right now in this cold weather, won 5 of their last 8. And it's so good to have some positive news because the start of the season was just so dismal, Charlie, and looked hopeless.
You know, I'm more concerned about the Jazz than I probably should be. Like, they're 10-29. They're kind of floundering. Ali Cosell was on with us yesterday talking about how Lauri Markkanen is maybe overpaid for what he's doing. Steve, there's something about the Jazz, and Graf brought it up there. Like, they always seem to have the Pelicans' number.
Right.
The stats are kind of interesting. In their histories, the Jazz are 48-28 against the Pelicans.
All time.
48-28. And the Pelicans have had some good teams against some mediocre Jazz teams. The Jazz have had some great teams against some mediocre Pelicans teams. So, but still, 48-28 seems like a pretty seismic advantage for Utah. And that's probably why I'm concerned. It always feels like the Jazz play a good game when the Pelicans match up with them. I don't really get it. I don't understand why. Maybe it's some curse with the name or something.